Hello, everybody. A new voice here on CITR 101.9 FM. You are listening to Album Club here, coming to you from UBC's Vancouver campus, situated on the unceded territories of the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh peoples. I'm Seth. This is Album Club, and this is the New York Dolls.
Best believe I'm in love, L-U-V. Looking for a kiss. Well, won't you tell me why those kids are moving so slow? Is it that they just don't have a place to go? When the day starts breaking, the sun is gonna shine. It's hard to sleep if I've been crying. And all the old ladies, they're all on their way to church. You go to church. Looking for a kiss. When everyone's going to your house, they shoot up in your room. Most of them are beautiful, but so obsessed with gloom. I ain't gonna be here when they all get home. They're always looking at me, they won't leave me alone. I didn't come here looking for no fix. I know I've been howling on streets all night long, baby. Just looking for a kiss. Just looking for a kiss.
That was the New York Dolls with Looking for a Kiss. It's nice to be here, everybody. I'm Seth. As I said, this is Album Club. Each week on a Monday, at about this time, we're going to chat about a few albums I've been listening to and why I like them and why I think you might like them. We're going to try and do one new one, one old one, and one Canadian one every week. That's the plan. And then there's a couple other little bits and pieces in the middle there as well. What defines new and old? Great question. We'll just see how we go. In my system, where I have to log my songs that I play in the show, there is a box for like new music, and the official definition is 6 months. So maybe we'll make 6 months the rule. Maybe we won't. I don't know why I'm pretending we will. Nonetheless, we're going to have a new one, an old one, and a Canadian one, roughly, each week. New York Dolls is, unsurprisingly, our old album. That came out in 1970... Was it 71? 73. And it's often regarded as one of the earliest earlier punk albums, proto-punk, all those nonsense words that don't really mean anything. But it is a really cool album, and I listened to it a few years ago, before I really, when I still found punk kind of hard work. It came up again. Oh, it came up on Pitchfork. Every Sunday, Pitchfork reviews an album that they didn't review at the time. And at the beginning of the month, beginning of April, they reviewed New York Dolls. And I just saw it pop up. And I thought, oh, do you know what? I haven't listened to that in a while. And I'm in the mood for it. And as I say, I've got a better appreciation of punk now. So, yeah, thought I'd give it a listen. And it was really good fun. As I say, one of the earliest punk albums, same sort of time as The Stooges, and like Jonathan Richman and the Modern Lovers, all those kinds of guys, the Velvet Underground, all those kind of noisy, rock and roll-y kind of sounds before, you know, The Clash and The Sex Pistols rocked up kind of late 70s, really. So, yeah, it was a time when we didn't really have punk music, and we had these strange people dressed up in androgynous clothing and deliberately slightly outrageous outfits, making big, loud music. And they were a brilliantly polarizing band, it really must be said. I was reading on there, I think the Pitchfork article, I was reading a review earlier this morning, to remind myself of some bits and pieces, and I think it said in there that in 1973, in one magazine, they were simultaneously voted the best and worst band of the year, Cream magazine. The readers voted them simultaneously best new band and worst new band. I was surprised. In my head, they were kind of, yeah, punk. That was, you know, I listened to them a few years ago, and it kind of, you know, flashed by. I was listening to a lot of other music at the time, always listening to new music. And so it kind of flashed by, and in my head it was kind of punky. And I put it on the other day, and I was like, oh, this is really glam. Because the other thing that they really remind me of, before that punk had appeared, before the Sex Pistols and the Clash were doing what we kind of traditionally think of as punk now, you had people like the Stooges, and a lot of punk was just to be kind of outrageous. You know, punk hadn't quite arrived yet, and really it just meant being who you want to be in the very early 70s. But other bands around at the same time, other kind of influential artists, people like Mark Bolan comes to mind, Bowie. In fact, if you put on the album to start with, the self-titled album, their debut, the opening track is called Personality Crisis. And I think of Elton John at that point, honestly, because of all the piano and the like rock and roll-y kind of vibes. There is something very kind of rock and roll about Elton John in a very campy kind of way. And New York Dolls certainly do camp as much as they do punk and loud. I mean, they're not afraid to be, you know, kind of quite, or weren't afraid to be kind of, you know, very of the moment. There's the third track on the album is called Vietnamese Baby, and this was a couple of years before the Vietnam War ended, you know, nearly 20 years of warfare. And yeah, they have tracks like called Pills and Frankenstein, and lots of questions about identity and just being alive and a young person in the early 70s in New York, and the kind of New England area, like the Boston kind of punk rock scene and the New York rock scenes kind of bled into each other a lot. And that's where you get people like Jonathan Richman hanging around. But yeah, I think it's, if you want something punk, I think at the moment, I think in this kind of the time we're alive in now, I think the New York Dolls are due a renaissance. I think what is more punk at the moment than refusing to bow down to cultural expectations and norms, when you could just be your own person and make big, loud, fun, rock and roll-y kind of music that everyone likes yelling along to. And speaking of yelling along, I'm going to play you the track of theirs that you probably know. If you don't know New York Dolls, you probably know Jet Boy. It's just good, loud, sing-along music. You can stomp your feet to this. It doesn't really mean anything as far as I've managed to work out from my kind of skim reading, researching for the show. It's just a good, loud, sing-along song. So I think we're going to have a good, loud, sing-along song, if that's all right with you. In fact, even if it's not, we're going to have one. This is the New York Dolls, and this is Jet Boy.
Love so deep with everything I Western Canadian Music Award winners Sargent and Comrade are back with their signature blend of lo-fi soul and ninja funk. Their upcoming album Power draws inspiration from the art of kung fu, with themes of inner harmony, discipline, and self-love. Catch Sargent and Comrade in concert presented by Infidels Jazz at the Kingsway Club in Vancouver on Saturday, May 3rd.
I think that ad is not as long as the file is. It's supposed to be a minute 17, but that just went very quiet. So we're back. Hello again, it's Seth, and that was some New York Dolls. Good old-fashioned punk. In fact, like, not even old-fashioned. I guess it is old-fashioned punk. Before punk was even new fashion. sort of makes sense. Right, we've got a couple more albums to be talking about this show. We've got some Craig Finn coming up and some Garden Collective. They're going to be great. Craig Finn, wonderful singer-songwriter. We'll get a little sad, and then we'll have some Garden Collective, who are dancey as much as anything, the local Vancouver band. They're good fun. But there are a couple of other little features I'm going to stick in the show. I am a great fan of records, by which I mean physical bits of plastic. We have a fantastic archive here at CITR with loads of records, about 11,000 records. So at some point in a little bit, I'm going to go and grab a record from the archives, and we'll have that. But the other thing I'm going to do each show, what I really love doing, is going into record stores. And there's some really good ones in Vancouver. Go to Zulu, go to Audiopile or Neptune, Red Cat. Go into them, and they all have somewhere a like $10 and under bin, or a loonies bin, or whatever they call it. Go and find some records that are dead cheap, cost a few dollars, and that you think just look cool. I love flicking through cheap records and finding things that I think look visually cool. Because then you take it home, it costs you like, I don't know, $7. Or in the case of the record I have here today, let me find the cover. Yeah, $5 it was. In fact, it was less than $5 because it was 3 for 10. So it was like $3.30 for this record. And it's just beautiful. We have some Steve Winwood, Ark of a Diver. And if it's rubbish, then you've just got some cool wall art. And if it's a good record, then it's a good record. So you win either way. My bedroom is increasingly full of fun-looking records, and I really should play some of them. So this is my opportunity to do so. Steve Winwood, you might recognise the name. You might know his song Valerie, which was a big, big hit. But I don't know any Steve Winwood outside of that song. I sort of vaguely recognised the name when I bought it, but I couldn't quite place it. But have a Google of Steve Winwood, Ark of a Diver. This beautiful, kind of slightly abstract, silhouetted figure diving into water, and it just looks very, very beautiful, I think. But does it sound any good? That's the question we're here to answer today. I did a tiny bit of research. I like to go into these as blind as I can, so we all get the same kind of experience. I did a tiny bit of research, and this was his second album, and it was really kind of his breakthrough, and it had his first big hit, which I think went to number 7 in the US. It's the opening track on the album, While You See a Chance. So we're going to try that. I think it might be a bit jazzy. I think it might be a bit rock and roll-y. I'm not really sure. We're going to find out together. So without further ado, from his album, Ark of a Diver, this is Steve Winwood with While You See a Chance. Thank you.
Looking for an audioscape to put your mind at ease? Landscapes by Dune is a musical journey through sampling and field recording. From the busy streets of Toronto to BC's picturesque landscapes, the Belgian artist recorded an array of sounds during his travels across Canada. Landscapes will be released on Pop Guitari Records Bandcamp on December 8th and will be available on all streaming platforms on December 15th. For more information, check out at Dune as Dune on Facebook, Instagram, and SoundCloud.
Well, that was rather lovely, wasn't it? A little bit of Steve Winwood. We got Sophie listening. Higher Love is a certified classic, apparently. I actually can't think of Higher Love off the top of my head. I'll have to give it a listen later. But I hope you enjoyed that one, Sophie. I did. That was delightful. And we got producer Stan has joined us in the studio. He's waving. Maybe we'll get him on air in a little bit. But yeah, that was rather nice. I would say that is a successful record purchase, as well as a nice piece of wall art. Although I do encourage you to give it a Google have a little look at the album cover. It is rather lovely. Okay, what else have we got coming up? Well, we're going to talk Craig Finn very, very shortly. But before we talk Craig Finn, we're going to get ready for the next little sort of random segue. We're going to dive into the CIT archives in a little bit. As I said, there are about 11,000 LPs knocking about in this room around the corner. And I have here a random number generator ready to pick one of those 11,000 or so records. I think the highest number I've seen is 10,902. So that's what I've got in here. If there are any records numbered higher than that, I apologise to them, but they're not getting picked today. So yeah, without further ado, we're going to pick the number now so that when I play some music, I have time to run around the corner and find the record. So without further ado, our random record today is 7,985. There we go. You'll just have to trust me that I've done that randomly. But I have. So I'll go and grab that in a little bit. But for now, we're going to talk Craig Finn, the one and only, the man from Minneapolis. Well, he's not the only man from Minneapolis, but he is a man from Minneapolis. And the one we're going to talk about now. He just released his sixth solo album. It's called Always Been. I actually picked him up on his prior album called A Legacy of Rentals, which is just a beautiful, breathtaking, deeply sad record. He has this ability to write like tales of urban social decay, like nobody else I have really come across. He sort of puts me in mind of like, and maybe this is not a very helpful reference point, but he sort of puts me in mind of like a Tom Waits kind of vibe, not necessarily in sound, but in the kind of like the songwriting and the observational style and the storytelling style of his music. So many of his songs are just stories of people that could be real people. And I'm sure he's drawn on people he's met in his life to kind of tell these stories. And so many of them are just like a real story of someone you can imagine. I spent a while studying in rural America a few years ago. And I feel like I met people that could be in these songs. I think we've all met people that, you know, live a life that doesn't quite go the way you think it's going to. And he breaks my heart a lot. I really want to play a song from A Legacy of Rentals, his last album. It's called Messing with the Settings. It has one of my favourite lines in any song, so I'm just going to tell you it because I don't have time to play it. The line goes, "Rachel was practical, she always carried matches. She said she didn't have habits, they were rituals." And I just think that's such a delightful little couplet that sums up someone's character so neatly in so few words. And I already feel like I have an understanding of her. That song is really, really sad. Do go and listen to it in a little bit. But for now, we're going to listen to some new Craig Finn. As I say, the album is called Always Been. It continues to be beautiful, very sad stories. I really like the closing track, Shamrock, which is exactly one of those stories of a couple, I suppose, a couple who got together, and the guy is called Shamrock, and then it all goes a little bit wrong. And as much as anything, it's just a little bit sad. But I'm not going to play you that one. I'm going to play you two other tracks instead. We're going to go back to back. You're going to have Fletcher's in a little bit. Fletcher's, sometimes Craig Finn just writes kind of like almost stories. They are barely at that point kind of songs. He is just speaking and like telling a story. And I think this story is simultaneously sad, but with a little bit of optimism. I don't know. You let me know. Do you think there's any optimism in it? And then the other one I'm going to play is Luke and Leanna, which I didn't kind of pick up the first couple of times I listened to the album, and then I did. And it kind of, it's got a really fun way of like the song, as it closes, it kind of comes full circle, and the lines that you hear at the start of the song are contextualized by the end of the song. And I think it's a very neat piece of lyrical work. If, again, rather sad. But we're going to be a little sad. There's nothing wrong with being a little sad every now and then. So Yeah, I think it's time to leave you with some Craig Finn. He writes it better than I can say it. You'll have Fletcher's in just a moment, but before that, this one is called Luke and Liana.
Just nothing, it's something at work. They live in the city, 6 blocks from the subway. He sells spots on TV. She works as a nurse. Look, Indiana, he's from Indiana. She's from Minnesota. They met at the church. They march to the city to have an adventure. 10 years together, hold on till it hurts. On weekends they visit the bars and the restaurants that come recommended by websites and friends. On weeknights they stay in, take out and watch TV. Red wine and Chinese, and early to bed. Look, Indiana, don't have any children. They said they didn't want them, but lately she's thinking, what's the point of this whole thing? Go to work for the weekend, wake up early on Monday, start it over again. At work there's a doctor, says she looks really pretty. Started out as just nothing, guess they just became friends. They take the same lunch break. He understood what her day's like, made her ask a few questions. What she wants out of life, happy hours and coffee, and that holiday party. Tuesday he texts her, said he's back with his wife. She was kinda surprised when she just started sobbing. Had to hide in the bathroom, take some time to herself. She came home crying. He asked her what happened. She said it's just nothing, it's something at work. They moved to the city to have an adventure. 10 years together, hold on till it hurts.
There weren't any curtains in the front room, and I couldn't sleep once the sun showed up with its heavy August heat. So I sat up on the couch and surveyed the wreckage, still wearing my wristband, which always makes it worse. The bars have been whatever. We shouldn't have even bothered. But after we went back to Fletcher's, the best part of a handle, and a plan to lay out the remainder on the table, listen to some records, and suck up whatever Saturday was left. Then Fletcher got the text from this chick Steffi met last weekend. Said she was out with girlfriends and they'd gone out dancing, but now the clubs were closing. They were all dressed up. They didn't really want to go home quite yet. So then there were the three of them drinking vodka in the kitchen. Tiny, shiny dresses, Steff and two others. One of them was gorgeous, but seemed a little standoff. So I chatted up the short one until she brought up her boyfriend. A little later, some kids we used to skate with came traipsing up the stairs with a case of Coors Banquet, said they saw the lights on and thought that they should check in. They entered with their arms raised like victors. The whole thing had momentum. And I was standing on the staircase looking over the proceedings, thinking that these dudes are mostly decent and I'd known them all forever, and friends should stick together, and I'm sick of all the sadness. And I gotta stop thinking about Seattle. It's probably good enough right here. But then back there in the morning with the bottles and the fruit flies and the ashtrays and the headache and the heavy sun and sticky floors, I wasn't really sure if I thought it was good anymore. Found my shoes in the foyer and a jumble of sneakers and one silver high heel. Steph came out of Fletcher's bedroom and went into the bathroom. She was trying to be quiet, but I think I heard her vomit. She ran the water a long time and she came out chewing gum. Still in the same dress she'd worn out to the clubs. And once I put my shoes on, I went out to the sidewalk and squinted in the bright light. She came out and stood there on the front steps with the high heel in her purse. Sunlight made sparkles on her sequins. I wished I had my shades. She cursed her friends that left her, said she couldn't wait for Fletcher. She asked if I had cigs, and I did. She spit her gum in the gutter, leaned in as I lit it. At first she smelled like spearmint, and then she smelled like smoke. 7 a.m. Sunday, we walked down University towards Broadway, stopped to get some coffee. She told me she's a hostess at a restaurant. In the spring, she started at Aveda, but she couldn't really deal, so she just stopped showing up. Now she's staying at her mother's in New Brighton, trying to save some money, but her mother can't stay sober, and she's sort of scared to leave her. Eventually, she'd like to live somewhere just a little warmer. But for now, it's probably good enough right here. Just above the water. She says she loves summer and she's sad it's almost over. She gets depressed around September. Reminds her of going back to school. I told her all last year I'd gone out to Seattle for a wedding. My cousin took us sailing in Lake Union. And in the middle of the stillness, I felt an urgency to live where nobody knows me, where all my prior sins couldn't be held against me. I keep thinking about just moving there and crashing with my cousin, doing landscaping or something, but my cousin has two children. Seattle's expensive, and funds have been elusive. It'll probably never happen, and that's probably just as well. Because I don't want to be some dude that makes a big deal out of moving, that comes back a few months later a total goddamn failure. Like when Fletcher went to Denver, he had 3 kegs at a send-off. Then he came back before Christmas, and everyone was laughing. And they won't let him forget it, and they won't let him outlive it. Behind his back, they call him Rocky Mountain Fletcher. They'll destroy it just for trying something different. And now my voice was cracking, pretty close to crying. She put her head against my shoulder, said the ones we've known the longest can pull us down the strongest. Put my arm around her and we sat and watched the water. Jealous of the movement of the current, maybe for a moment. It was pretty good right here.
Are you a writer?
Listener?
Dreamer?
Music nerd?
Want to cover artists?
Visit venues?
Write something?
Events?
Personal essays?
Anything!
Submit to Discorder magazine and then take it a step further on Hail Discordia with your hosts, Zoe
and Izzy. Hail Discordia is an audio translation of Discorder magazine. We interview writers, play music and soundscapes, and do a deep dive of each zine issue. Hail Discordia plays at 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on the third Thursday of every month on CITR 101.9 FM.
Submit something for the magazine and come onto the show. Or just tune in and listen.
We promise it's worth it.
Hello, it's Seth again. I'm back here on CITR 101.9 FM here on UBC's Vancouver campus. You're listening to Album Club. We've been having a lot of fun. We've listened to an old album, some New York Dolls, a bit of punky noise. We listened to a new album from, oh gosh, when did that come out? Beginning of the month, I think. Craig Finn's Always Been came out on April 4th. So yeah, just a couple of weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. We're going to get on to our Canadian album shortly. We're going to have some Garden Collective, get a little dancey to close out this beautiful show. But before we do, we're going to dive into the CIT archives. There are about 11,000 records in there, and we picked one out at random. We ended up with number 7,985, and that has given us the Randy Peters and their record Independence Day. Now, I've done a tiny bit of research, having found it in the last few minutes, some of the records in CIT archives, I've kind of done some demo shows and things, so I've done this a couple of times in practice. There are some fantastic old websites out there. I've come across the web version of No Cause for Concern fanzine, which I think basically was like a magazine that kind of ran in Ottawa as like a kind of, yeah, zine kind of thing. And the web version, if you were attached to one of the bands, you can just like chat about, put up a load of stuff about your band. So a few little things that I picked out that I thought were quite fun about the Randy Peters. I'm not sure which member of the band wrote all this, but presumably one of them. There were quite a lot of members across the lifetime of the band. They ran for about 10 years, from 1980 to 1990. The type of music played is, quote, three-chord melodic punk pop. And their first gig was in 1980 at the Gloucester High School talent show. So that's a little bit of the history of the Randy Peters. I think it's going to be a bit noisy. I think it's going to be a little New York Dolls, to be honest. Stan has picked out the track for us from our little EP. It's the second release they ever released on Triple X Records. It's called Independence Day, which is the opening track, but Stan has picked out the lyrics from Freedom Train, said he thought that looked fun, so we're going to start with that, and in fact end with that. It's the only track of theirs we're going to hear. Let's see, is this you know what, I don't have a witty question here. We're just going to listen to some to the Randy Peters. This one is called Freedom Train. We're going to try putting this on 45 because this does sound a little odd. So if it sounds even weirder in a moment, you know why. We're going to speed things up a little bit and see what happens. We'll be right back.
If the news are getting you down or you're tired of scrolling on your phone, Massey Books is the one-stop shop for you. A 100% Indigenous-owned business that is committed to giving back to local charities, community initiatives, and organizations, Massey Books has a vast selection of rare and unique books, as well as a diverse range of books that are from underrepresented authors. You can shop online at masseybooks.com or visit their store on 229 East Georgia Street in Chinatown. They are open 7 days a week from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Wednesday to Saturday, and 12 to 5 from Sunday to Tuesday. Their friendly staff would love to give you a hand to find your new favorite read.
Well, that in the end was the Randy Peters. Thank God Stan pointed out that it sounded, well, it did sound weird. Thank God Stan pointed out that it was meant to be at 45. Once we put it at 45, that was quite good fun. I mean, I quite liked the 33 version. I think it is quite fun putting on records at the wrong speed sometimes. But it did sound much more like a song at 45, which I suppose makes sense. It's a little more country than I expected. I think I was expecting a little, like, angry punk more than, like, country punk. But I quite enjoyed it. I think that was good fun. A good dive into the archives. So thank you very much, The Universe. Well picked. We've got one album left to talk about today. We're going to talk about Garden Collective. But there are a couple of other albums I want to briefly mention in passing before we do so. I did put on my Insta story. I will at some point get around to making like an Instagram for the show. But in the meantime, I did stick on my story. I asked whether people wanted me to talk about Craig Finn or self-esteem. And 2/3 of people said self-esteem, so I promptly ignored that. But for my sister and whoever else voted for Craig Finn, we got some Craig Finn chat. But it is worth listening to the new self-esteem album. If you're not aware of her, she is a pop singer-songwriter from Sheffield. Her real name's Rebecca Lucy Taylor. She was in a band whose name I don't remember. She just released her third album. Her last album was called Prioritize Pleasure. It was Mercury Prize nominated. It very nearly won it. I think it lost out to Simbi, Lil Sims' album. Stan's doing a little celebration. We do love Lil Sims in this studio. But yes, give Self-Esteem's new album a listen. It's good fun, especially if you like I don't know, Brat or Eusexua, the new Twigs album, or I don't know, Big Pig's album, or any of those kind of dance pop albums that are coming out in the last year or so. If you like Jessie Ware, for example, yeah, go listen to some Self-Esteem. Good album. Other options, Viagra Boys. Viagra Boys just released a new album. It's sort of self-titled, except the space is in a weird space. It's not between the A and the B of Viagra Boys. But yeah, that's good fun. Again, I really like their previous couple albums as well, Cave World and Welfare Jazz. Both definitely worth going and listening to. They are Swedish punks, but like fun Swedish punks. Very sort of tongue-in-cheek, slightly satirical. In a way that I don't find draining, which I do sometimes with satirical post-punk, but... Oh, punk. But they are good fun. And then there was one other album. Oh, yes. Okay, I very, very briefly want to talk about Walt McClements. An album that just came out. It's called On a Painted Ocean. And it is accordion music, which I know sounds weird. I vaguely recognised the name when I saw that the album had come out. And I actually saw this guy live last year back home in England. It was a free gig at the venue I was working at. They hadn't sold super well, so I went along because I was offered a free ticket. And he was opening for Mary Lattimore, who is a harp player. And Mary Lattimore puts her harp through some effect pedals. Walt McClements does the same with an accordion. And I didn't know an accordion could sound like he makes it. And in fact, I think the opening, the like first line of a review that I saw when I was just kind of looking at albums to listen to, says something like, you know, didn't know the accordion could sound like that. And I was like, oh, I do remember who this dude is. I knew I recognized the name. So go listen to Walt McClements. The first track, it will start playing. You'll be like, yeah, that sounds like an accordion. Halfway through, you'll be like, hang on, this doesn't sound like an accordion anymore. And I don't really know when that happened. It's extraordinary. Walt McClements, On a Painted Ocean. Definitely worth your time. But now we're going to talk Canadian albums. We got one last album to play you out with. It's from Garden Collective, GRDN Collective, and the album is called The Flowers Are Blooming in Antarctica. I've discovered a new meme. I didn't know The Flowers Are Blooming in Antarctica is a meme about climate change. There was an erroneous, misleading post that suggested that flowers were blooming in Antarctica, and it was terrible news for the world. And although the world is falling apart, actually it was a picture from Greenland, and there are flowers that bloom in Antarctica already. But anyway, Garden Collective are sort of combine care for the environment and love of plants with music and making like electronic-y, dancey kind of very sample-led stuff. This album is actually, as much as anything, just fun to put on in the background. I often advocate for really listening to an album and a kind of active listening, but sometimes passive listening is lovely as well. And this is a lovely one to just kind of listen to passively, especially if you're in a kind of slightly upbeat mood. If you want a little bit of a dance, go have a little dance. As I say, producer Stan is in the studio. Host and creator of Horny Music, which is Thursdays at 11 a.m. this time on a Thursday. Give it a listen. He plays lots of music with horns in, and I'm gonna play a track called Game Boy Greenhouse, which has some really good horns in it. Stan's celebrating, so we'll have some horns. Maybe on Thursday Stan will mention it and tell everyone that he really hated it and it was a terrible choice. And I'm just gonna play other little bits and pieces. A lot of the tracks on this album are like 1 or 2 minutes long. In fact, only one of them is more than 3 minutes, so a lot of them are little snippets. So I'm just gonna play you a few little snippets. We'll probably have Game Boy Greenhouse, we'll probably have Holobioint. I don't really know how to pronounce that word, but that's roughly what it looks like. I might play you Dionysus as well. There's just some fun little samples and things in this album that I'm sure there is a... For those of you who've played any Mario game, you know, when if you're Luigi and Luigi dies in what way, you know, one way or another, you fall down a gap or something, or you're playing Luigi's Mansion, you get got by a ghost, and he makes that, like, that wailing kind of noise. That dust sample, I'm sure, is in one of these tracks. There's also definitely like 2 seconds of a Smash Mouth song in here somewhere as well. It's just fun, and I think a nice way to close out the show. And as I say, a local Vancouver band, they're often playing around and about, so do go to one of their gigs. Follow them on Insta, support your local scene. Go into record stores, support that local scene. And hopefully you've enjoyed the show. Hopefully you've learned about some new albums or some old albums, some new albums to you. If you have any suggestions for future albums, for future shows, please, please bounce me a message if you have a way of doing so. As I say, at some point I'll put together an email and you can send an email to that or create an Insta. But in the meantime, feel free to bounce me any suggestions you might have for albums you want to listen to. In a future show, if you've got around to listening to one of the albums I've mentioned and you have some thoughts on it, I'm always happy to hear that. If you get around to listening to some Craig Finn in the next week and you want to text me and be like, that was great, do so. If you want to be like, nah, not my thing, do so. But for now, I think we will leave you with some Garden Collective. I hope you've had a lovely time. You've been listening to Seth Spain playing some albums on the Album Club here on CITR 101.9 FM. Here to play you out, it's Garden Collective with Game Boy Greenhouse.